So we're continuing on in the Kuntres Tovim Ayres. So we've been speaking basically the whole time of understanding the pnimius of what's going on within Klal Yisrael. And that's where he really ended off, is that even at the time of their lowliness and when they've descended in Ruchnius, Benkach or Benkach Kruyim Banim, they're still called Banim because mitzad their pnimius, they're always in the category of tzaddikim. Ba'amech kulim tzaddikim lo'elim yishu aretz neitzer matoyim asa yadai lispar. That's what we're up to. Lo'y nochein hu adimyoin shish mokayim la'avas Yisrael dveikus behem gam im eino mevinim estaras ha'machshava yesodit shelahem. This is a big statement. He says it's incorrect, the imagination that people think, people imagine, that there's a place for Avas Yisrael, for loving the Jewish people properly, and for clinging to them, being attached to them, even when you don't understand the purity of their fundamental thought, fundamental machshava. Meaning, in order to have real Avas Yisrael and Dveikus and Klal Yisrael, you have to understand and really kind of tap into or be aware of that fundamentally, deep down, there's a taras hamachshava, even in places of purity of thought, even in places where it seems most impure. Right? Which we spoke about a little bit, mentioned last time, the idea of that. Okay, this is really spoken about in Sifri Hasidus or Tzadik and Ishbitz, these kinds of svarim that, you know, kind of like reveal that even when a yid does an aveira, there's something really deeper going on where he's really, in a very paradoxical way, ultimately thirsty and kind of calling out and reaching for Hashem. And so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe over here is saying is that really you need to be able to kind of get these concepts and understand this idea of the Taras HaMachshava that's deep down there in all of Klal Yisrael, to be able to have proper Avas Yisrael. And the truth of the matter is that one of the things, if you know, sometimes speak to the people that are anti-Avas Yisrael, you know, you speak to the Kanoim, whatever it is, they'll tell you, like, how am I supposed to love a person that's Mechal Shabbos and Oichel Machal Sasuris and, you know, Boil Arayas and all these, you know, they start bringing out the whole list of Averis and it's taka on that level, it's taka hard. They're like, yeah, okay, we know there's also a concept of hating the Rishoyim. To hate the Rishoyim. So how are you telling me to love them? So there's...
Well, it's in the other way, the people who would taka are going around speaking about Avas Yisrael without...
Right.
And then, on a very, very, very...
Very low, superficial
very
level.
It's not everything.
Right.
They want the rights to have Avas Yisrael at that level.
Right. So we have like a... like kind of a duality going on. On the one hand, there is a mitzvah and a requirement really to hate Rishayim. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to love the Jewish people. And that seems to include even the Rishayim. Benkach u benkach kruyim banim. Because nevertheless, they're called children. So there's a basic mahalach of the Baal HaTanya, which it seems that Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe held of in general, this mahalach. And there are others, many others that held this way, that one has to be able to divide between the gavra and the chefza, if you want to say it, between the person and his actions. And it's the you have to hate the actions, right? It's kind of based on the Gemara, Yitamu chatoim min aretz v'lo chaitim, we find, right? That the sins should be exterminated from the world and not the sinners. Meaning, and the way the Tani explains it is that the Jew fundamentally is pure. And unfortunately, sometimes he goes into what we would call a personality crisis, where he loses touch with himself and he does bad actions, even very bad actions. And he does averus. But those averus really don't define who he truly is, and he himself obviously is very often not aware of who he is. That's like a basic mahalach that is taken in dealing with this. So that on the level of sinas rishayim, it's more to hate their rishus, but love them as the gavra, love them as the for the Jew that they are, the potential that they carry within them, and even that, you know, that the deeper neshama that, again, paradoxically in a crazy way, is really kind of begging for an attachment to Hashem.
One thing is just a couple of questions. Number one is that the first halacha is not Eisa Maisi Amchon, none of the mitzvahs of Eisa don't apply.
Yeah.
Right? Chesed and Eisa Leisisno doesn't apply either.
That depends.
Once someone's not Eisa Maisi Amchon.
Right, so there with that.
Well, it's just a halachic, which is a halachic definition of the way you behave.
Right.
Right, we're just saying where to go. That's the first halacha. Yeah, and the other halacha, most of you have halachas of Mesis and Mediaf. There's a lot to go and attack against the person.
Yeah, I mean, there's never really a case of Mrs. Medea.
Yeah, but if there is,
but as far as that goes, so then, you know, you have Kook wrote and Chazon Ish wrote independently, obviously, based on the idea of Tinik Shanish, but that,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm we don't saying have. Nowadays, yeah, I'm yeah. saying.
But you're saying fundamentally, what do you do with the?
We're not having passion. If we're having a Tinik Shanish over here, it's all different story.
Yeah, so
we're not handling him with. He's not handling him with Tinik Shanish.
He was talking about today. He was talking about the chevre who went off the derech and velazim.
That was the same time as Rav Kook.
Chazanish wasn't talking about those chevre. He was talking about the next day.
Next day.
Rav Kook met people, right, when he went on the Masa Moshavot.
Yeah.
Right. So what he discovered over there was that the chinuch system, which was put in, you know, by Baron Rothschild's people and whatever it is, were forcibly, you know, were teaching them to be not from, and that's all they they knew. They literally grew up in captivity.
Right, that was already.
And that's where Rav Kook wrote it. Yeah,
I'm saying someone there is a musig in halacha. Someone's not isemai samcha, right? Yeah. Don't talk about teaching shmat. Someone.
Yeah.
So that all the halachos in Muma, which can also apply. Yeah, there's halachas, and you're not allowed, you're not meant to do chesed with them, and all the rest of it. I think
even within them, we have to go to, you know, the different levels, but there are different levels even within that system of who we don't do chesed with, and then who we do worse than that too. You know, Maridin. But the extreme cases
that's the person himself.
Yeah, no, so the, in those extreme cases, we say that the person is really like Moitzius Atzmi Mikal Yisrael.
Right.
And that's like, it's different. It's like he's not part of us. He's really cut himself off. Obviously Rav Kook is not talking about those type of people. Neither is the Baal HaTanya speaking about those
people. So who's he discussing? He's talking about
He's probably talking about the Mumarim L'Te'Avon. Mumarim L'Te'Avon doesn't have those dinim. So that's right. That's a specific halacha. Even in that kind of a case, it wouldn't necessarily be mafkeh you from having to love him. When the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, when they bring sinah, it's not a mumah l'te'avon. It's only by
there's two different sugyas. Even if you're the Chazanish, that's a Tinik Shanishba.
The Tinik Shanishba is something else.
Even if he is a Tinik Shanishba, that doesn't have to do with the Nekudin Abba, that you can be Chal Shabbos with another sugya in Allah. But then many other sugyas, even if he'll be a Tinik Shanishba, and the sugya over there with the Karam, there are many sugyas that he still won't have a din. It's Chal Shabbos, Shabbat Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos
is Harbin. Right, that's
something. That's Shabbos. No, I'm saying many other things, kiddo.
Did I ever read to you the piece from Rav Kook on this chiluk of Risha and Rishus? On Rishon, I'm sure but Rishoyim and Rishos. I mean, this is the Maisa. It's very chashuv. Since we are bringing this in, I should really read in Rav Kook's Shmoyne Kvatzim, which are like eight notebooks of diaries. So this piece kind of complements. It's very, very important, and puts into perspective how one is to apply this very, very difficult division without causing damage to him and his family. And this is it's found in Kovitz Ches, Ois Reish Chof Ches. So he says like this, a beautiful, beautiful piece. Sinas HaRisha, the hatred of Rishus, right, the hatred of evil, כשעמוקה וגדולה, when it's deep and great, צריכה לבוא בתחילת בריאסה יחד עם סינס הראשון. It needs to come at the beginning of its creation together with hatred of Rishayim. Meaning at the initial stages, you cannot make this division between the Risha and the Rishayim, between the, you know, Chefetz and Gavra, between the person and his actions. Raka achar kach, only afterwards, he mitmateket al yidei koach hadas umidbareret. Through the koach of das, only afterwards, through the koach hadas, does it become sweetened and clarified. Ad sheyomedes al nikyon atzili, till it can stand on its noble cleanliness, like, you know, meaning purity. She'en ki im sinas arish levado, then it will only be hatred of the evil. Va'noisim shelo she'em arishoyim ba'atzmam, and those who carry the evil, meaning those who do the evil, the rishoyim themselves, mitmal'im aleim rachamim, you are filled with mercy on them. V'yitamu chato'im v'leichoytim, and you want that the sins should be eradicated from the world and not the sinners. Right, that's the second stage. That has to come only after, when a person gets a bigger level of das, where he's able to make that division in a real way. Aval im mitchilas briyasa tova betzurasa idealit. But if from the beginning it comes in its idealistic and ideological form, lechavin es mausa rakal asina shel risha muvshetes, to direct its essence, to direct itself only on the hatred of the abstract rishus, the abstract evil, not on the person. It's never ever going to properly manifest itself, even in regards to hating the evil itself. Because lacking the hatred to the rishoim, will blur the hatred of the evil itself. And then the whole good treasure will be placed in tremendous danger. Says Rav Kook, this was the point of where many, many people fell. This was the stumbling point where many, many people have fallen. Shenaflu, they fell mipnei sheishtamshu betchilas avayasa shosinas arisha b'mida atzilis. They fell because they used, all the way right at the beginning, the hatred of evil in its noble form, the heder sinas arishayim, and so the lacking of the hatred towards the rishayim, nishapcha acharkach la'avosam, turned around, turned over, afterwards, to loving the rishayim. Umitoich avas arishayim, and from loving the Rishayim, naflu heim atzma be'avas harisha atzma, they fell into loving the Eve itself. It's unbelievable. Al kein uchrachasi, therefore, it's absolutely compulsory. Hamachshava rishayin elias betchunas midas hadin, that the first machshava the person has is in the characteristic of the midas hadin. V'achakach midas haracham imba, and afterwards the measure, the midah of mercy comes, umamateket ota b'shitufa, and sweetens that midas hadin by partnering with it. Meaning, he's being meramis to the way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world in two stages. First he did b'midas hadin, and only after that he put midas harachamim to combine the two together. So says Rav Kook, that's the way this has to be done. If you're going to, this is very, I mean, unfortunately we see this today, is that there's certain, you know, there are people that are mechanech, their kids, right, mechanech straight off to do this division between, you know, you have to love all Jews and you have to hate the evil. But a child doesn't have enough das, and even teenagers very often don't have enough das to make that division in a real way. It's more like just kind of playing with their nefesh. And that creates a blurring of the hatred of the Risha. If you're not able to make in a real meaningful way that division, so then your nefesh becomes tied and ends up loving the Rishas itself. And then they go off the derech, or they themselves become like that. So in the Chanami, it's not something, this is a level which can't be jumped to. It's a level that only if a person, and that's where Rav Moshe is really coming to over here, is that to get to this level, you really need to nurture from Saidi Satara. You need to nurture from a much deeper place, a Pnimiya Satara, to understand the inner worlds of what's going on in the world and in the nefesh of people, in order to do this in an appropriate way. Because the worst thing is, it's worse to do this, and if you're not holding there, and if it's not real, you're going to end up being mazik yourself, damaging yourself, lowering yourself spiritually, and lowering everyone around you spiritually. So that's worse than hating the Rishayim. It's better just at least to do the first step, hate the Rishayim mamish, than to mess up, where you're going to put yourself into a danger of actually loving the Rishas as well. Because at least that's Enechanami, that's what Rav Kook is saying, right? He's saying the first stage is you got to first hate the Risha together with the Rishayim. That's the process we all go through. There's a maturing process. If you're going to teach a kid straight off the bat, as if he's an adult, as if he has enough, or as if he has enough psychological and intellectual understanding to make very difficult chilukim, you're just going to confuse the kid and cool him off from what he really should be hot about. That's a very, very, very important Rav Kook, which kind of counterbalances, so to say, all that what we're speaking about. He was very aware of this problem, and this is what he wrote about over here. There's a few other places he writes in the same, but that's I found it to be the most, from what I've come across, the most beautiful, capitalizing of it.
That to learn the regular writing at a younger age would be quite dangerous.
Right, there are those. I mean, I remember even as a bacher, I remember a certain Rav was telling me that you know, yeah, America's a Rav, whatever. I'm not necessarily speaking against any America's Rav or Yeshiva. I'm just saying this was his taina, was that Bochram at the age of 18, 19, they're not holding there yet that they can receive these ideas, like these lofty ideas, in a healthy way, because they're not yet solidified enough in who they are. They're not, you know, you have to really, if you think about it, when you're going to these kinds of levels, you have to have a certain process of solidification where you're really kind of like very strong in who you are, what you are, and have your bearings very clear before you move on to the next step, which is complicated. And that's the same idea that we don't learn Zohar, you know, we don't learn Zohar straight at the age of 13, 14. Again, Kamar Nataka does, you know, they held that. I shouldn't say they held it. It's more than, no, more than Gersa. Yeah. But okay, they were big tzaddikim, who's Kamar Nataka? It's just the rabbis, they didn't really have chassid. They were very, 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 very big tzaddikim, completely on a level. And not all of them did, even the Damesek Eliezer, the author of Damesek Eliezer, was the son of the Heichal Brocho. He writes in...
Not the Damesek Eliezer on the Gro.
No. Damesek Eliezer is one of the Kamar Rebbe's, second really, mm-hmm. second one. So he himself writes, I forget, at the age of 30-something, that he said something to his father said something to him, maybe you should start learning Kabbalah. Like he never, even though his father held that you should start at like 13, 14, in actuality, his father didn't actually demand that, and Hitaka didn't until like a much later age. Then he ended up writing on the entire Zayah, a beautiful beer. You know, he became very big. But again, there has to certainly be a maturity process where a person doesn't delve into something over his head, because the worst thing is when we fool ourselves, and then it just causes a confusion in the nefesh.
I think most of the people were banging on about Yisrael the whole time. People had no clue about this.
Yeah. If a person, unfortunately, you know, I think I said this in the past that the Briskerov. I think I heard it from the Briskerov that he used to say that anybody that darshans on Avos. How does it go? Anybody that darshans on Avos Yisrael, anybody that darshans on Avos Yisrael, it's because he hates Hashem, hates the Torah, and hates Yisrael. It's like that was his, you know, that's like his harifos, you know, like because only the Zionists were waving the flag of Avos Yisrael, and it's because they really hate Hashem, they hate the Torah, and they, you know, fine, but they're. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying that was what the idea is, that it's very nice and it's a very important banner. The banner of Avos Yisrael is very, very important. But sometimes it does come from that place of justifying your own lack of caring for halacha and for Torah. Right? If the person, if these people are if the person that's being darshan in Avos Yisrael doesn't really himself, you know, daven all the time, or doesn't daven all, you know, or whatever, is lacking some kind of serious lack, you see that he has a lack in Yirat Shamayim. So that puts into perspective, where is that Avos Yisrael come from? That doesn't mean that he doesn't love the Jewish people. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying it's all bad and whatever it is, but certainly it's not the Avos Yisrael that Rabbi Yaakov Meir is talking about. That's not the dveikus in Klal Yisrael. If somebody really loves Klal Yisrael, if somebody is really dovek in Klal Yisrael, then he would serve Hashem with complete devotion, because that's the best thing for Klal Yisrael. The best thing for Klal Yisrael is a person that, you know, that there's an unbelievable thing. Rav Kook actually writes in Iris, in, I don't remember if it's Iris HaTshuva or Iris Iris HaTorah, and I don't know if I would find it now offhand, but he says that the, it's probably Iris HaTorah. I mean, let me see if I can, I don't know if it's in this one or it's in the one where they made some additions. He has a piece where he says that the, one second. I don't know where it is right now. Belinda, I'll try to find it. I'm afraid to say. Okay, what I'm saying something based on memories, but we'll have to check it out. But he says something to the effect of that the miut mesikus haTorah, the lacking of feeling the sweetness of the Torah, meaning a person doesn't enjoy learning. He doesn't feel that enjoyment in learning Torah. Rav Kook says stems from his lacking in connection to Klal Yisrael. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable statement, but that's exactly what I'm saying. If a person really had full Avos Yisrael and what, he'd be completely wrapped up with the Torah, completely wrapped up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at the end of the day, Kud Shebaruch Hu Yisrael V'Raisa Chadu, it's all one. They're all one. So how could you love one without the other? How could you love your neshama if you don't love your guf? Love your guf, you don't love neshama. I don't mean love your guf in the way of doing everything, but you, and being loved to take care of it. And if a person's not taking care of his goof to be healthy, then that's also coming from a lack in his love for his neshama as well, because you can't divide these things one from another. Oh, maybe it isn't Eretz HaTshuva. Okay, any case, we'll try to find a Bli Nether, if I remember, next week. Okay, let's just go weiter over here. So, where are we holding? Okay, we did three lines. So, lo nachin hu adimyon. Okay, it's a false imagination. Sheyesh makom lavas yisrael dveikus b'hem. Page 8. Even if you don't understand the purity of the machshava, that fundamental purity of machshava that Jewish people have, kol tziur pgam b'machshava yisraelis ha'pnimis. Any tziur, right, picturing a blemish in the inner Jewish thought. When we see, it's not, thought is really a bad translation. Machshava means, in this context, something much deeper than what we just think. It's not necessarily even a conscious thought. It's more like what's kind of pushing, what's kicking deep down in Klal Yisrael. And anyone who pictures some kind of blemish in that machshava Yisraelis ha'pnimis, in that inner Jewish machshava, poigim es achoyshev, lirasek es machshavta lirasisim. So he's blemishing the thinker, right, to crush his thought, lirasisim, into tiny pieces, v'la'asoyse bilti pori aklal, and to make it unproductive, omemele lan micha, and thus lowering it, lashpila, lurasekota, to lower it and crush it, meaklal haniskav shel Yisrael, from the lofty klal of the Jewish people, velishlo mimena kol achush shel avas Yisrael, and to reject from it all the sense of avas Yisrael, afla chelik miYisrael, even to the part of the Jewish people, she'ena moitzi bo shum doifi, which he doesn't find in it any problems. In other words, he's going to be lowering his avas Yisrael even klape, even towards the individuals that he holds are okay, that they are good. Amachshava Yisraelis apnimis tzricha lahavina b'tarosa amitis. That inner machshava Yisraelis has to be understood. We need to understand it in its true purity. Shegam oisam ha'ivarem ha'meduldolim v'amruvusakim. That even those limbs that are, you know, dwindled and crushed, einam resukim elam b'machutz, they're only crushed on the outside. Avolo b'fnim mi'b'fnim, not inside. B'fnim ein shum resika l'kol tamim v'shalem. Inside there's no crushing. It's all perfect and whole. How does one get to this pleasant understanding, which adds pleasantness and charm, al hoyd gdulas nishmas Yisrael, on that, you know, splendor, the greatness of the Jewish neshama, when the external, you know, when you look at the external, all you see is the opposite, is that big dwindling that one sees on the outside. So how could one be satisfied and happy with Klal Yisrael? Look at what the nation looks like. How could you have such like positive thinking? If it's not through revealing the secrets shel amagama apnimit, right, of the inner aim shebecholis oiris, that's within every stirring. Shebecholis oiris is oiris, in every single stirring. You have to understand what is behind the stirring. What's in there? Sha'af al pisha mitzad achutz miduldelesi. Even though on the outside it's taka in a bad state, it's dwindled away. Eina magia rikvona chalila lebefnim. The rot doesn't get all the way down inside. Va'giluy hazeh mimashe melefnim min akloim. And that revelation of what's going on inside the curtains, so to say, mitaken memela gam esadildoshim mebechutz, that itself will fix up the dwindling that you see on the outside. Ve'atem advekim Hashem leikechem chayim kulchem ayoyim. Rav Kook writes that that's really the idea of what happened on Chanukah with the Pach HaShemen. That's in others from you see the similar idea. Is that Timu the Yevanim with their Hashpa, right? The Yevanim were Mashpia, and we know that probably the majority of the Jewish people at that time joined forces with the Yevanim. They were Misyavnim. They accepted the Greek culture rather than their Jewish Taridic culture, right? And they were, so Rav Kook says, Himu es kol hashmanim shebe'echal. They defiled all the oils, which was a reference to like the Torah. They defiled everything, all of Judaism, but except for one pach shemen that they found b'chaisamish al kohen gadol. There's that one pach in there, that one little, what we call the pintel yid, that one spot where all the filth in the world wasn't able to penetrate, because that's sealed off with the seal of the kohen gadol, that there's always still hope, and there not just that there's still hope. It's going to flare up, and it's going to Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to light that menorah for more than 7 days, 8 days, bring us all the way into Yemei HaMashiach, because that's what the Bechina Shminis is, right? The eighth is past Eilam Hazeh, bring us into. So that's where you have to latch onto. That's the part of Klal Yisrael that through the Sfarim HaKadoshim, a person is able to tap into and accept and understand in a real way. Obviously, the deeper one goes, the deeper a person's understanding will be able to be. But that's basically the Mahalik that he's been speaking about, and that's okay. We got one paragraph done. In the next time, he's going to deal with the question head on. Really, till now, he's kind of built the whole mindset. And in the next time, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see, he's going to start answering what was Rav Kook talking about when he was talking about the exercise and you know and giving kalach to the body and he speaks about gvura and what seemed to be physical might, like where does that have a play in our religion, so to say. It reminds me recently, not recently, it was maybe like a year or two ago, somebody sent me an email and he was like very excited about this Jewish boxer. I don't remember if it's from, I think maybe from, or I don't remember, I think it was from, and he's like, wow, you know, like kind of like what a Kiddush Hashem, you know, in America, I think this was. And I looked at whatever it was he sent me, I don't remember, I think it was an article or whatever, isn't it? And I wrote back to him, you know, it's terrible. It's the whole, you know, if it's like, you know, weightlifting this and that, okay, I can hear, you know, I can hear you get excited about it. Not that we make a big thing out of it, but okay, no, then you'll have this thing that Rav Kook says that there's a mokum for gvura, we'll see. But to who's going to beat up the next guy, you know, more successfully, that certainly is not such a good mahalach. But anyway, but that's what we'll Bez Hashem get to, is see where gvura takes, you know, if we should get excited about people becoming good boxers. Good luck.